Reading, Pennsylvania. He's smart, sassy, and definitely not a jinx.
Something's afoot. That's all I'm saying.
It's Matt Steinmetz.
Yeah.
And in this corner, straight out of the Yoon.
I need meat on my bone.
He's a certified stud and definitely isn't still rocking a 92 caddy. It's Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Now, it's time for Steinmetz and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Good morning. Mid-morning. I am Matt Kolsky. JD, John Dickinson, sitting across from me. I've not yet mentioned this week, although I feel like I should since it's our last day filling in for Steiny and Guru, that RJD2's Ghostwriter is really like the way I would like to start almost everything in my life, and I'm glad to have had the opportunity to do it for 4 days.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun.
Yes.
It's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And today, we're going to have fun, but the topic is maybe a little less fun after what we saw at Oracle last night, which was a beatdown, frankly. The Warriors got beat down. And not only that, but they got beat down by a team who, yeah, is a very good team. Frankly, the best team in the NBA so far this year. But a team without their best player. And a team that may very well be the team the Warriors bump into. I believe I saw the stat today. If these teams play again, it will be on May 30th.
That is correct.
Game one of the NBA Finals.
Yeah, May 30th, a long ways away. Good 5.5 months away.
Yeah, and all we will have, evidentiarily, at that point, is two losses for the Warriors to the Raptors. So the first loss, I think we've talked about, kind of almost felt like a moral victory. Because
yeah, you throw it out, right?
KD went nuts. You're on the road in Toronto, missing some of your best talent, and you hung tough. Forced overtime, right, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Kevin Durant
had 51.
One of the most incredible shots you'll see to send the game into overtime.
And so you felt pretty good. Clearly, after last night, you don't feel good. I don't think there's any question about that. And one of the things we're going to do today is sort of ask what happened. What went wrong? You got an easy answer for that, JD?
Well, the Warriors didn't make threes.
That's a big problem.
They only hit six. And look, if the Warriors hit anywhere in the 10 to 13 range, typically they don't lose. Now, maybe you got to bump that number up closer to the 13 range with how other teams are shooting the threes,
yeah,
and also a team like the Raptors. But no, I think it's a rare occurrence where you actually can take a Warriors loss and file away some of the things that went wrong for later on down the line, because the Raptors did it in Oracle Arena with the Warriors having their four All-Stars playing. And I thought engaged in the game, although Steve Kerr may have disagreed a little bit after the game, and they did it without Kawhi Leonard, their best player, an MVP candidate. So if that happens, you got to take a little bit of a closer look at what the heck is going on with the Warriors. And it was a game that just, I mean, if you went to the game, it was, they sleptwalked through the game. But a lot of that was because Toronto took it to them early.
Yeah, but probably we should mention, other than Kevin Durant again, who did turn the ball over in awkward and unfortunate situations, but also shot it really well, Klay and Steph didn't. They didn't shoot the ball well. And we've talked about this a lot. There's a lot of different things that we point to over the course of a long Warriors season. And oftentimes it's things like, oh, did you see what Alphonso McKinney did last night? Or, oh man, Sean Livingston really had a game yesterday. But ultimately, the wins and losses more often than not come down to, do KD, Klay, and Steph hit their jump shots? And last night, two of them failed to do that, particularly from three-point range. I also think, though, part of that, and this is where it gets tricky to sort one thing from another, because it's also interwoven in a basketball game, some of the poor shooting is, at least in some way, a product of other littler things that are going wrong. And one of the big ones last night was the first quarter defense just did not get it done.
No, it was poor first quarter defense. I think a lot of times you'll see the Warriors hit shots and it'll kind of bail them out in stretches where they don't play defense. And as the game goes on, they'll play just enough defense coincided with the shot making that is unmatched when they're going well, and they would turn a game like last night where they trail by 9 at the end of the first quarter into a game that they might win going away.
Yep, that can still happen. It's harder to do, obviously, against a team like Toronto, but first quarter defense I thought was a problem, and also, for what it's worth, I think Fred VanVleet made a huge difference defensively against Steph Curry, and I was actually reading, I think it was Monty Poole on this morning, that Steph has had great success historically against the Raptors, and part of that is he cooks Kyle Lowry up for breakfast. And Fred VanVleet is smaller than Lowry. He can't be physical with Steph, but he can be in his face full court all night long. And sure, some nights it won't matter, and Steph will hit shots anyway, but last night I think it did matter.
It was a statement kind of a win for the Raptors. It really was. To go in there and to kind of put the Warriors on notice, to make the conversation after the game be, well, the Warriors didn't have Iguodala, and they're still going to get DeMarcus Cousins. To almost make the Warriors have to play that card, a card that they never really have to play, that in and of itself puts something on what the Raptors were able to do last night in Oracle.
925 texter says the Warriors are now a jump shooting team. No, they've always been a jump shooting team. It's just jump shooting teams can win. That's the thing that has changed from what Charles Barkley thought the league was. I do like this text from a 510 texter, K-Dub from Oakland. He says, this loss is exactly what the Warriors needed for DeMarcus Cousins' year to have meaning. Now he can be the guy that got them over the hump against Toronto. You buy into that at all?
He's going to make them tougher to beat. I think there's going to be a lot of meaning on DeMarcus Cousins coming in and how he'll integrate into the rest of this team, regardless of who they play and how big of a factor he is in the finals.
Do you think this Raptors team, as it stands today, do you feel like they present the biggest challenge of the potential finals teams?
Today, yes. And I think they earned that right last night. Now, that being said, we haven't seen the Warriors play Boston yet. We haven't seen the Warriors play Philadelphia yet. We have seen them play the two games against Milwaukee, where Milwaukee kind of did what the Raptors did last night to the Warriors in Oracle Arena, but the Warriors were down Draymond Green in that game.
And
so
Steph,
I think it's
hurt.
A little bit of a different deal, although the Bucks on that night did hold Curry down before he left the game due to injury in similar fashion to the way the Raptors did last night. But no, I think right now it's probably Toronto. I've left the door open for Boston to get their act together, and it looks like they're starting to get their act together. And they're a team that I think the Warriors probably wouldn't want to face once they're a finished product. But the reality is, look, the Warriors don't care who they face.
No.
And I think the Warriors know, and last night after the game, there was a lot of respect thrown around from Steve Kerr to Kevin Durant to Stephen Curry as far as what this Raptors team brings to the table. I actually think that's a good thing if you look toward a rematch between these two teams. When the Warriors respect the opponent, that means if they get another opportunity against that opponent, they're going to be locked in. And that, coupled with the fact that it's going to be the NBA Finals, if it happens, I think that's actually very good news for the Warriors.
Speaking of what guys like Kevin Durant had to say about Toronto last night, one of the biggest takeaways from the post game was these comments from KD.
They got veterans over there. I mean, I don't understand what you mean, a young team. They got champions over there, Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard. You got guys that played in big playoff games like Serge Ibaka and Kyle Lowry, Jonas Valanciunas. You got young players. They got a great mix of veterans and young players. They got a new coach, but the leaders of that team have been through some wars, so I wouldn't call them a young team, or I won't say them beating us two times is going to give them extra confidence. They've been balling before that, and they're going to be balling after they beat us. So, I mean, they're not an up-and-coming team. They're here.
They are here. Frankly, they've kind of been here, but they've clearly jumped the level trading out DeMar DeRozan for Kawhi Leonard. And that shouldn't be a surprise. Here's an interesting,
and Danny Green.
Yeah, you know what? Danny Green.
They got two starters in that deal.
They did, and Green is
and the best player in the deal. They got the best player in the deal, and they got two starters.
Yeah, the best player, obviously, and definitely two starters. But Green in particular, he looks like Danny Green 5 years ago. Because the last couple years, Danny Green had not looked good. Wasn't shooting the ball well. Seemed sort of checked out. and he's rejuvenated. You saw him making offensive plays last night, which is not historically his thing. I'm intrigued to hear what you say to this 408 text. Raptors are just the superior team. They proved it in the two games head-to-head.
I don't think they proved it in the first game.
Well, clearly, I don't know that they... I don't know that anything can be proved in December. But clearly, the first game, you're down major pieces.
Yeah.
And I think you would have said the same thing if the Warriors had won in a blowout last night, that neither game really proved a whole lot of anything.
It would have. I think it would have proved what we already knew.
Right. Yeah.
Which is the Warriors are the better team. Now, look, yeah, the Raptors were the better team last night. I think you do give them credit for that. But the Warriors are also an unfinished product at this stage.
Yep. And especially without DeMarcus Cousins, but just in general, it's a group that hasn't played all that much together. And I will say, what I'm not going to give them is what we just got from a 925 text, which is the Dubs thought they would cruise to a win without Kawhi and didn't play their A game. Obviously, their A game didn't appear. I don't think it was a case of lackadaisical, not taking the Raptors seriously. I think they got beat.
They got beat.
We're going to talk about that all day today, but I am curious, the last couple days, in addition to a win and a loss for the Warriors, we've gotten, 16 hours of Kevin Durant content from various websites and podcasts and what have you. And I think it might be time to quickly check in on this and just ask the question, how do the fan base, the organization, and maybe most importantly, his teammates feel about Kevin Durant putting himself out there as widely available as he has? Matt Kolsky and John Dickinson in for Steiny and Guru for one more day, talking Kevin Durant's overexposure on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Stein, Metz, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Stein, Metz, and Guru fans, fear not. Just one more day. Me and JD finishing today, and then I believe you get your regularly scheduled conductors back tomorrow. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, that is correct. Per both JD and the boys behind the glass. We're curious, after what was a very ugly defeat last night, and in the midst of a season that, not in the same way as last year, but certainly nonetheless has been sort of colored by off the floor or non-basketball on the floor drama, particularly given that this week you've got Kevin Durant giving a number of interviews. And now it's easy for me to talk about how I feel about this because as a member of the media and a basketball nut, when Kevin Durant talks to Bill Simmons for an hour plus and 47 minutes of it is basketball nerd stuff, I'm like a pig in slop. I'm very excited about that.
Right.
But I also understand I am a member of the media and not a Warriors fan like many of you out there are. And I am curious if you see it the same way as me, because I'm essentially glad to have an insight into both Kevin Durant's character and personality, and maybe more so into his interesting thoughts about the game that he plays at such a high level. I don't think that is necessarily the reaction everyone has. For instance, a 510 texter saying two words for KD, shut up. And I'm not sure, and I mean this totally sincerely, not like a, I'm not sure, they might not like it, but I really don't know how his teammates feel about it.
Well, that's the question, really, because as interesting as it is, and I agree with you that it is interesting, both the snippet from the Chris Haynes podcast, which is going to be released in full, I believe, on Christmas Eve. There's going to be a bigger deal with that and the Bill Simmons
it's
podcast
a long
as well.
Up, by the way.
But all the basketball stuff gets kind of brushed to the side.
Of course.
That's interesting. It's the other stuff that becomes headlines. It's the conversation about statues and legacies and things that lead you down a path to question whether he's going to stay in the Bay Area or
is
not
he focused
stay
enough?
In the Bay Area. And I think it is interesting because the question is, as a fan, is it worth it? Is it worth maybe getting a sneak peek at what he thinks about the basketball things to have maybe some of these other things become distractions, because the reality is when he says things, they make headlines.
Yep.
And we talk about them and everybody talks about them. And then he gets asked about them in other settings where maybe he doesn't really want to discuss it, a la after a game where you just get beat by 20 points.
Yep. And I think it's not just when he says things. I mean, we saw the same thing when Steph Curry,
it's anybody,
made what he says now is a joke about potentially doubting the moon landing on somebody else's podcast, right? So anytime any of these guys has something to say, it's going to make news. That's the nature of the 24-hour sports news cycle. The difference is KD seems more not just willing but interested in talking a lot. And again, for me, I really enjoy that. But I also would understand, and I think, frankly, we have seen that Draymond Green might not love it. And I think in some ways, Durant's, I don't want to be too cynical about it, because I think mostly he's just a guy who's interested in talking about basketball and doesn't think too far ahead about the fact that every time he has a long basketball conversation, he's also going to get asked about a bunch of other stuff. And then he just answers those questions honestly. And like, he should know better, but I'm not sure he thinks about it that way. That being said, if I'm Draymond Green, I think there probably is reasonably part of me that's saying, really, man, can't we just get through this year and win a title and then figure out the other stuff later? Do you have to talk about it every couple weeks?
Well, the irony in that is nobody loves to talk, at least historically, more than Draymond Green.
No, it's true. That's true. But I don't know.
And no one is more interesting, really, than Draymond Green when on a myriad of different topics.
Yeah, and I guess we have seen him do some uninterrupted stuff where he's out there speaking his mind as well. And maybe that's part of the problem, too.
If anything, Draymond Green's toned it down the last couple of years in terms of just the unabashed, you know, reaction to everything that happens in game. I mean, you go back 2-3 years ago and he's reacting to, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, he would, it's so funny that the play last night with Valanciunas, right?
Yeah, when he broke
his
thumb.
He smacks down on his thumb and he dislocates his thumb, right? And it made me think of a story when I was a kid and Robert Horry broke Walt Williams' hand on a play very similar to that. And Robert Horry is a young player. He said after the game that Walt Williams needed to drink more milk. And I remembered that when Draymond smacked down on Valanciunas, I thought, wow, he probably just broke his arm, broke his hand, broke his wrist.
You could
something
see,
happened.
When a Viking starts screaming in pain like that, you know something is seriously
and
wrong.
And my first thought was Robert Horry saying after he broke somebody's hand, that guy should drink more milk if he wants to complain. And it made me think, you know what? That's exactly something Draymond Green would say if Valanciunas was ticked off or the Raptors were ticked off that Green broke his hand.
Mm-hmm.
But he's toned all that down. He doesn't do that. 2016 Draymond might have said something like that. 2019, 18 Draymond, not really.
No. And I think certainly he's not doing hour-long podcasts with members of the media. To the extent that Draymond stuff is out there, he's very much in control of it. And I think this is an interesting text about KD, and I think somewhat accurate. KD wants the spotlight, says a 415 texter, but he wants it on a dimmer switch that he controls. He can't have it both ways. He wants to control the spotlight, but if you put yourself out there, you can't control how it comes across or how other people react. And I do think there's some of that.
And you also can't control that people are going to react.
And going to follow up with you about it.
Right.
Yes.
Because if there is one thing that it appears bothers Durant, it's when he speaks on certain topics in the form of a podcast or a video or kind of a sit-down interview with somebody that he's comfortable with. Bill Simmons, Chris Haynes, a couple of guys he's clearly comfortable with the last couple of days, that's it for him. Like he wants that to just kind of live in that area and not be asked about in a post-game press conference and not be asked about necessarily as far as a bunch of follow-up questions when he's sitting down after a practice.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that as a human being, that's understandable. As an NBA basketball player, it's unrealistic.
And it's fair for him to feel that way.
Right. But it's unrealistic.
But it's also fair for people to follow up and ask about it. And if he wants to get mad, that's kind of on him.
And I would say it's more than fair. It's their job. they kind of have to do it. If you're a reporter who shows up and never asks those kinds of questions, you're not going to be showing up all that long. If you want to weigh in on a tough Warriors loss last night or the potential KD distractions, we've got you. 888-957-9570. The Chilton Auto Body text line is 95795. We also got the play of the game from last night coming up in just about 5 minutes. But let's go to Gabe in San Jose. What's up, Gabe?
Hey, how's it going, you guys?
Good.
So, you know, I'm a Lakers fan, man. So, you know, I really ain't got a horse in the race right now, you know, until we actually do something. But I just want to point out something, man, that all morning long I've been hearing everybody talking about, you know, the Warriors are going to see them again in the finals. But it's not a foregone conclusion that they're going to be there because, you know, they got to go play Sacramento tomorrow night. And that team, I'm from Sac, and I watched that game last night. And Sac ain't the same team they have been the last few years. And speaking, you know, being a Lakers fan and all, I remember we had, you know, our super team with Karl Malone and Gary Payton and Shaq and Kobe.
Yeah, but Gabe, that's, you know, Gabe, with all due respect, that super team never won anything.
And those guys were old.
We did, we had two guys that did. And then, you know, what I'm getting at is that nobody gave the Detroit Pistons any, you know, chance of winning that series. But what happened in that series is the hungrier team won, not the better team. And so I think that's kind of what happened last night, is that the better team lost, but the hungrier team won.
I think that's fair to say about last night, Gabe. I don't know if that's how I analyzed that finals. I think that Lakers team was...
Like, Karl Malone and Gary Payton were old.
They were bad. Yeah, that's the difference there. But I will say this. I don't think we said it's a foregone conclusion they meet in the finals. I think we just said... if that would be the next time they could play. I will say, I expect the Warriors to be in the finals.
Look,
if
they play in the finals, my takeaway is if they play in the finals, there are things that happened in last night's game that are conversation pieces. How the Raptors played. How they defended Stephen Curry, which is something you mentened. I mean, look, the X's and O's part of it really doesn't matter on December 13th.
No, it will in the finals.
But it will on May 30th.
Yep.
So, to me, you almost you run through a few of those things, and then you kind of file them away, and you bring them back if they wind up playing again. And look, I don't think it's a lock that the Raptors are in the finals.
No. I think the
And they're going to have a tougher path than the Warriors will.
I totally agree. I think the top of the East is certainly today much tougher than the top of the West.
I'm looking at the West. I mean, there might not be... I mean, this might come off as a crazy statement. I don't necessarily think it's a lock that there's more than one 50-game winner in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I would agree with you. As it does sound crazy after what we've seen the last couple of years.
Almost happened last year.
But it did, yeah. Yeah. It was the Warriors dragging their behinds last year.
It was the Rockets and the Warriors and, you know, Portland, and I think that was it.
I think you're correct. Everyone else was scrunched together in the high 40s, and I think... everyone but the Warriors being scrunched together in the high 40s is very reasonable this year, especially when you consider that a lot of the teams people identified as number two coming into this year, they don't look good.
Yeah, the 2-3-4 teams, you know, from last year, if you want to say it's Rockets, Portland, whoever, Utah.
None of them are in the playoffs right now.
You know, those teams are... all not in the playoffs and all significantly worse. And the 12, 13, 14 teams last year were, you know, Memphis and Dallas and Sacramento, along with Phoenix. I mean, those were the bottom four, and three of those teams have moved up.
All right, it is 10:30, and that means it's time for the play of the game from last night's Warriors action. So call right now, 888-957-9570. First guy or gal who gets through gets a chance to guess, or hopefully you already know what the play of the game is. We have somebody. Was that what that hand signal meant? We do not yet have somebody. 888-957-9570. 650 says, unfair to Durant to have to explain every thought he says. He can't ever say anything off the cuff without needing to then explain it. It's a bit ridiculous and exhausting for him. We ask players to open up and share their thoughts and ideas, and then we grill them for it. We are hypocritical for that. I think... there's some truth in that statement, mostly in the last part, that the public is hypocritical. The thing is, fair has nothing to do with it. Kevin Durant is ultra famous. He's paid handsomely.
That's what you get the $30 million a year for.
That's exactly right. Your privacy's gone. Your ability to say things and not then be grilled for them is gone. And that comes with it. And he's certainly more than welcome to walk away. And I think people will care a lot less about what he says. But it's just sort of part of the deal. Our competitor is Caesar in Redwood City. Is that right? Caesar in Redwood City, can you correctly identify the play of the game from last night's Warrior defeat?
Yeah, wasn't it KD dunking on Ibaka?
I don't know why they always ask me. We have to go to the tape.
Now, here's the play of the game.
Durant, the middle floor, behind the back dribble, pulls up down the lane to the rim, dunked it over Ibaka, his former teammate, reaching out with a right arm.
Count it!
Ding, ding, ding.
Great work by Caesar in Redwood City. Congratulations. And I got to say,
that was an awesome play.
In a game without a lot of highlights for the Warriors,
awesome.
Oh man. KD does do things once or twice a game that just nobody else can do and remind you, oh my God, it's watching something we have never seen before and probably will never see again.
And that was the kind of play when it happened, you thought, well, maybe there is a big run coming.
Right.
And then it just never happened.
Yeah, there were a couple of those. There was that one Steph 3 where he couldn't get free, ran through the lane, sort of handed it off to Draymond in the post, and then just broke for the sort of wide angle 3 and got a quick pass back and dropped it. And I was like, oh, all right, maybe things are going to heat up now. And it just, they could never turn the corner, I guess would be one way of putting it. Let's hear from Lionel in Fremont. And if you want to weigh in, 888-957-9570. The Chilton Auto Body text line is 95795. What's up, Lionel?
What's up, guys? Happy Thursday, Tequila Thursday. Real quick on game yesterday. I mean, I know some callers are saying, first of all, I actually wanted to go two callers ago. A Lakers fan that grew up in Sacramento. I didn't know they exist. I remember he was watching the 2002 Western Conference Finals. But anyway, enough of that. Real quick, on yesterday's game, maybe a little of their age. I mean, it wasn't like they just thought they were going to breeze through that team without Kawhi or not, because that team does have a lot of more defensive options with Kawhi not playing. Basically, you don't have to just stick Kawhi on somebody. You can kind of switch it up. But, you know, I think basically they had their game plan and everything. Okay, they're up for it. I mean, you cannot say that the Childish Gambino concert the night before did a role. But, you know, these guys are still at that age where they're going to go out. I mean, they're superstars. They're champions. They're going to do that. And maybe 5-6 years ago, they were able to go to a concert like that and still bring the intensity and the hunger for that game. I still think that was in their mind. They were going to bring it yesterday. But then all of a sudden, they got, as Mike Tyson said, punched in the mouth. I mean, Toronto, it's true. Toronto did want that game more, and they came out just blazing, just gun blazing. So I think that kind of shocked the Warriors a little bit and then threw them off of their shooting and such. But, you know, it's not like for sure that these are the two teams that are going to be in the finals. I kind of want to see it, but the East is just so up in the air. You never know who's going to come out of the East. The West, I don't know, man. Maybe OKC might get together and challenge the Warriors, but I still don't see a team that's going to be like the Rockets last year. But love the show, guys. Go Dubs.
Thanks, Lionel. I don't think there is a team Rockets last year. There just isn't.
No,
it doesn't exist.
And the Rockets were in a position where they looked primed to push ahead in terms of regular season standing, and eventually did.
Well, and I don't know if this ended up serving them in the long term, and I think it actually will hurt them in the very long term as their franchise is about to head into a horrible tailspin, if you ask me. But they made no bones about it. From the beginning of training camp, they had the Warriors in their sights. They talked about it. They threatened it. They spoke overly confidently about it. And I think maybe when you spend all that mental and physical energy targeting one team and chase them down over 82 and get on top of them and have them on the ropes in the playoffs, and then it falls apart on you, we may underestimate the difficulty of turning it right back around and trying to do it again the next year.
No, I that was one of the things I said actually coming into the season was, hey, the Warriors won the championship. They're going to have, you know, their championship hangover. The Rockets went all in and didn't get it done. What's their hangover going to be? Because they almost have the hangover without the championship.
And also, to be perfectly frank,
because once you have the one seed as a team that's always been gunning for that team, once you have the one seed and you don't get it done, Typically, that's it.
Especially when you don't get it done in the way it happened to them.
Typically,
which was,
that's it.
It
that
was rough.
Goes down as the best shot.
And I would add to that, they know they had the best Chris Paul they'd ever have last year. Chris Paul's worse every single year they have him. So to have a worse Chris Paul, also lose two key defenders, and have the emotions of last year, that's tough. That's tough. 510 says the only reason anyone cares about what KD says is because he plays for the Warriors. No one paid any attention when he played in OKC, and I would dispute that. He didn't say anything when he played in OKC. People cared. Of course people cared. People freaked out over it. You remember that commercial
where
he and Dwayne Wade were dreaming about each other, and people were like, oh, Michael never would have had a commercial where he was worried about another player. They're soft. People cared. Well, he didn't talk.
And we'll have to dig it up, too, because our guy Anthony Slater of The Athletic actually wrote about, he had found a quote from Kevin Durant that was somewhat similar to the quote from the podcast the other day
about his time
wanting to be there and championships and jersey retired, and I think he even mentioned statue. I was reading through it last night. It was very, very late. It was actually after the game, and I thought, wow, okay, because at the time, and Anthony was covering the Thunder at the time, that was a huge deal because they were gripping in Oklahoma City that 2015-16 season over would he stay, which is obviously the prime question leading toward next year for where the Warriors are at. So I think he's been in a position where people are hanging on everything he says before.
Yeah.
To that point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't understand where people are coming from who think we're making excuses for the Warriors. I think we've been very clear. Last night is a game where they got beat. We're trying to figure out why. Sure. Because they have the better roster, especially last night. But no one's making excuses. That's a loss that they took, and we're trying to draw conclusions. Let's hear from Rich in Los Altos. If you want to weigh in, 888-957-9570, the number. What's up, Rich?
Hey, guys. Thanks for letting me on. I'm not overreacting about yesterday without Kawhi because, you know, everyone can lose a game. I watch it closely. Toronto is pretty dang good this year, and anyone who doesn't – Toronto's at a level now, in my mind, that anyone who doesn't bring it is probably going to lose. I mean, they're really playing hard. I mean, but that being said, you know, I'm not worried about them in the finals. But the reason I called is I hear you guys talking about teams. I don't know how many years LeBron has to prove himself, but I don't know. I assume everyone's watching what's happening down there. And, I mean, they might get another player, but, I mean, even if they don't, they're, to me, head and shoulders, easily the second-best team in the West right now. And they might be a problem. So, if everyone's healthy, you know, the Warriors, they run it all. Everybody knows that. But one injury, you know, one tweak, Curry injury, Draymond goes off on some ridiculous rant, I'm not so positive. So anyway, that's all I got today. But those Lakers, my whole point is watch those Lakers. And I don't know, maybe it's because we're in the Bay. I mean, I've been in the Bay Area my whole life. But I don't know if it's like this L.A. hate from the old days coming back, nobody wants to acknowledge them or what. I don't get it, but I just think it's kind of silly.
Well, they got off to a bad start, which I think people dismissed them, but they've actually been playing very well, and they are 17-10. I mean, they are even with the Warriors in terms of losses. Now, obviously, there's a story behind that for the Warriors. The 8-8 stretch where they didn't have Curry or Draymond or both of them, but I actually think there's something to the point there that the Lakers might be the second-best team in the Western Conference when it's all said and done.
I think that might be an interesting question to ask people. Who do you think is the biggest threat to the Warriors within the Western Conference? Because in a strange twist from the last few years, most of the threats...
It's shaping up to be the Lakers, in my mind. Because I don't believe in Oklahoma City. I know they blew the Warriors out, but that was when the Warriors were shorthanded. I don't think Utah has enough, although they always play the Warriors extremely difficult. You know, they give them good games, but they're not even in the playoffs. Minnesota, San Antonio, no. Pelicans, no. Portland, we've seen that before. And Portland's essentially the same. Memphis, Dallas, Sacramento, no. Although the Kings do typically play the Warriors tough.
I'm just going to point out
stink.
That you just went through the entire Western Conference and left out the one team who is actually ahead of the Warriors in the standings right now. And that is the team I want to talk about when we get back, because I think there's a weird, interesting little twist there that could make them a threat. But who do you out there think is the team that most threatens the Warriors?
And I think there's one thing that I want to jump off. There's one reason why I actually disagree with you on that. So we got it covered on both ends.
Exciting stuff upcoming. Who threatens this Warriors squad? Matt Kolsky, John Dickinson, in for Steining and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
back to Stein, Metz, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
We are back. Matt Kolsky and John Dickinson in for Steiny and Guru today. They are back tomorrow. And we're just talking about threats to the Warriors. This is a year where there's a lot of, evenness? Parity? I don't know quite what to call it, but the Western Conference, including the Warriors at this point, is all jumbled up in one spot.
Yeah, it's part parity, it's part mediocrity, and we can do our own separate podcast.
That's a separate
debating
debate.
That.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a lot of mediocrity. But, and the Warriors, again, it's the 8-8 when they were down Curry or Draymond or both. So I think they kind of have their own story to it.
And both of us expect them to pull away from the pack. But nevertheless, there are a lot of teams in the West around the same level that clearly the Warriors have shown, if they're not at their peak level, all these teams are threats to some degree. And which of them presents the most specific matchup problems, I do think is an interesting conversation. Here's the stuff I don't totally understand is when we get texts like this from a 650. Warriors need to get Tony Allen, lockdown defender. Never mind the fact, let's pretend that Tony Allen was still a
good
professional basketball player. But it's not even good. He's been gone for years. But let's say there was a Tony Allen. Trevor Ariza, essentially. He's probably a evolutionary Tony Allen. Plays defense, can even knock down a three. Does Trevor Ariza demonstrably help the Warriors right now in your mind?
Yeah, I think you would.
I'm not sure I agree.
I think you would.
Is he better? How much better at this stage of his career at 35 is Trevor Ariza than Alphonso McKinney? I'm not sure.
I think the Warriors, as they get closer to the buyout season and as they get closer to the playoffs, they're going to have to make an evaluation as to their 15th roster spot that they currently have open. And I think one of the things they're going to look at is exactly that question. Do you trust Alphonso McKinney to play in playoff games? And do you trust him to play in playoff games if Iguodala or Livingston are out?
That's the issue
and,
for me.
And to me, if I'm the Warriors, I'm going to look strongly at a veteran option that you can trust more than McKinney, if need be. That's not to say that McKinney can't do it.
Right.
But
we'll see
I think
of
you
McKinney.
Are going to probably want an insurance policy on McKinney should you choose to not want to throw him out there or have an injury to a couple of guys that you trust.
That's the bigger issue to me. Because another text we got from Jay Hammer says, the Dubs' bench depth and consistency is the biggest problem. They need a player like Ariza or Jamal Crawford, a spark plug for the bench and second team. Iggy is too old. And see, that's where I think I jump off. Look, I think Jamal Crawford helps most teams a little bit with the little scoring burst off the bench. Trevor Ariza, I'm not saying Trevor Ariza hurts the Warriors. He's probably at least as good as Alphonso McKinney is right now. What I do think is Iggy is too old is the thing we would have said during last year's regular season, during the year before his regular season. And come playoff time, he's good enough to get it done. Now, there will be a year where he's not.
Yeah.
But I don't know that looking at what he does in November and December.
You can't judge it. Really almost have to ride it out until that year happens where he's not.
Right. That's exactly right.
And what'll happen and what happens with a lot of championship teams is the year that eventually they don't win it, they have to take a long look at why they didn't win it, and that will be maybe one of the reasons why.
Yeah, but I do think, and I think we probably agree on this, if they don't win it this year, it's probably going to have a lot more to do with the top five, all of whom are all-stars, than it has to do with Iguodala or whether or not they add a reason.
The Warriors have enough star power, and they've been built on stars for the last, this is the third straight year, they're wholly built on stars.
Yep.
You know, the strength in numbers thing, as I've said a few different times, it's cute, it's fun to talk about, it's a nice, you know, complimentary topic when the Warriors are rolling and they're boat racing teams and they're on 10-1 streaks. But the reality is this team is about star power and they're about winning with some of the greatest players to ever play the game at their positions.
As you should be when you got four, if not five, all-stars in your starting lineup. Of course you're about stars. If folks want to weigh in on who threatens this Warriors team, 888-957-9570, the phone number, the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. I do want to say the team you left out when you were going down the list was the Denver Nuggets. And they have been the best team in the West so far. They started hot, had a lull, seem to be getting back into it.
I like Denver.
I like Denver, and everyone has forgotten their first-round draft pick, who, before injury issues, was the consensus number one overall pick for last year's draft, has not hit the floor yet.
Yeah, and they're basically redshirting him.
Well, but he's supposed to play in the second half. And so,
but how much are you going to get? I mean, that whole thing. I mean,
of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's a redshirt.
But if what you get is a valuable bench contributor who can get some buckets for you, it certainly makes the team better. I'm not saying Michael Porter Jr. steps into Denver's starting lineup and becomes their second best player.
I just think even to expect him to be a rotational piece this year is probably too much.
It might probably. Be. It might be. And I'm not so much saying I expect him to be as if he does become a rotational piece this year. This is a very deep Denver team. It's a Denver team that has a lot of different guys who can score and that, frankly, are playing great. I think they may be as big a threat as anybody.
Yeah, the reason I left Denver out was actually, it was twofold. It was one, because I do think they're better than those other teams that I mentioned. I was kind of going through more of a no
right.
type of a list. The one reason I actually don't think that they are the biggest threat to the Warriors this season is the fact that it's going to be too great of a jump for them. They didn't make the playoffs last year. Like, they're still trying to overcome that. They haven't made the playoffs since 2013 when the Warriors knocked them out in the first year of the Warriors now run of consecutively making the playoffs.
That's very fair.
With this core. So I think while the Nuggets could wind up being, let's say, a 2 seed or a 3 seed or a 4 seed, and they're certainly playing at that level, although they've had some injuries too. Millsap's out,
yeah.
Gary Harris,
yeah.
and the like.
And they brought in Nick Young, which who knows what that'll do.
Right. So I think the Nuggets are more of a, they get in if they get the right matchup in the first round, they win. And then in the second round, they're playing the Warriors or maybe the Lakers, and that's probably a wrap.
Yes. Probably. It probably
and
is.
Then you, and then, but they are in a nice position, like you say, with Michael Porter and the depth. They're in a nice position to improve another level next year.
No doubt about
it. So I like the 2020 Nuggets as a threat in a similar way that I liked the 2019 Celtics last year as a threat.
Yeah, we talked about that before the show a little bit, and we both felt that way last year about the Celtics, and I think we both still believe the Celtics, if not are the favorites, have a really good chance to get to that form we expected from them when we looked at essentially what the roster was when Gordon Hayward would return, which he has sort of done. We're seeing half Gordon Hayward, I would say, so far this season. Let's go to Mike in Daly City. And if you want to volunteer a particular competitor that you think is the most dangerous for the Warriors, let us know. 888-957-9570. What's up, Mike?
Hey, I got the Lakers right now because the two big men, even though JaVale McGee and Chandler, because of the talent experience, can cause the Warriors right now trouble. I mean, healthy, the Warriors will take everything. They got the title, but...
Thanks, Mike. We can barely hear you. I think he's saying it's the Lakers because they can control the paint a little bit with the big men and obviously LeBron.
I think it's the Lakers. I think it's going to wind up being the Lakers. It's probably a better way of saying it.
I think the two that I would look to are the Lakers and the Thunder. And a huge part of that is just those are two teams.
I think Thunder have no shot.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
They might be the second best team. They don't shoot well enough.
To beat the Warriors,
yes.
You're saying?
They don't shoot well enough. I look at the Thunder, and to me, that's a 5-game series.
So they have a shot to be the second best regular season team.
They can be the second best regular season team, but they don't threaten the Warriors.
Okay.
To me.
That may be right.
In games that matter.
That may be right, especially because Russell Westbrook's record against Steph Curry in games that matter is not good.
Yeah. And Paul George is interesting because Paul George he rises to the occasion.
Well, see, this is why I think the Thunder have a shot. Justin, they play the best defense in the league right now.
He rises to the occasion, but he's
limited.
He also drops. Like, I'm not a big Paul George guy. I think he plays down to the competition. I think he tries to play up to the competition. I think he thinks he's better than he is. I'm not the biggest Paul George fan.
Here's an interesting text from a 510. The Warriors are dysfunctional now, like the Celtics and most other teams. The teams that are fighting together instead of fighting against each other are on the rise. Even LeBron land is harmonious now. You buy into that?
I don't. I don't think the Warriors have more dysfunction than they've had. I don't know that they're dysfunctional.
Are they more dysfunctional than last year? I think we are very quick to forget what the narrative was all of last year, which was they're not functional. The entire narrative of all of last year was...
I don't mean basketball-wise.
Okay.
I don't mean basketball-wise.
But don't you think
I mean behind-the-scenes-wise. I mean drama-wise. I mean conversation about that kind of stuff.
There was less actual evidence of drama last year, but we spent just as much time talking about it, didn't we?
What was the drama? And I'm not even saying you're wrong. I don't remember it. What was it?
I think we were talking about, well, what's wrong? Why is the emotion down? Have they lost their mojo?
That's play. That's energy. That's not guys, you know, having issues with each other in the locker room.
Right. It was as a result.
And I know David West came out later, and then we all thought, oh, well, something was going on. And then he since...
I'm not saying we thought that there was...
Dysfunction is the Durant-Draymond, you know, the Durant-Draymond stuff. That it's that kind of dysfunction.
Right. And so what I'm getting at is we've seen these incidents this year. These, for lack of a better word, off-floor incidents, even though that happened on the floor. We didn't see that last year. And so we didn't have the stuff to sink our teeth into and say, oh, look at the problem. But I think we spent the whole year going, what's the problem? Because of the way they were playing. And I think... there was certainly speculation that before David West said anything, hey, is something weird going on behind the scenes here? Have they tuned out the coach? And yeah, that is more basketball-ish, but to me, it's the same. It comes down to the same thing. If they were winning, if they won last night, this is not the conversation we'd be having today.
No, that's absolutely true.
So it really,
But that matters, though. Winning and losing matters.
No, of course. But what really matters.
If you win, nobody cares if you're dysfunctional.
Right.
But you lose, you look for reasons why you lost or why you're not playing well, and dysfunction can be part of that.
Sure, but that's my point in response to the text, right? Is saying they're dysfunctional now, to me, that's really just saying they've lost last night.
They've
lost more this year than we expected.
Yes, but the dysfunction doesn't just go away. It may get talked about, but like, there's a certain level of dysfunction. It comes out when you lose.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It comes out when you lose.
And I don't believe...
like, the dysfunction that... if you believe that there's dysfunction, let's say, between Durant and Draymond Green.
Yes.
And it was going on before what happened in L.A.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, which I agree with.
Yeah.
It happened, you know... let's just say it started, although I believe it started probably before this season, but let's just say it started in the off season.
Okay.
Well, no, I mean, it goes back a couple of years.
That's my point.
Yeah, and that's fine. I don't think that matters to the point that I make. But if it goes back a couple of years, and it's here, it's there, and then when you lose, it comes out.
Exactly.
Okay? But it's still there the last month. You lose again, it comes out. But I think it's still... my point is, it's still there. Like, beneath the surface.
I think that's my point as well.
But if it's constantly there, going back to the texter, if it's constantly there on a higher level and it comes out more because you lose more, then it is something that's more prone to take you down.
Yeah, I think that's true.
It would be 2 years ago.
Yes. I think, frankly, drama is always more prone...
if it's just constantly there, eventually it's going to take you down.
Well, it gets more and more likely to in any event. By the way, you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM at HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. Tomorrow night, back at it, taking on the Sacramento Kings in Sacramento. 7 o'clock tip tomorrow. I just think the phrasing of a text that says they're dysfunctional now and teams that are not dysfunctional are on the rise is a little misleading, because I don't think the dysfunction is considerably bigger than it was last year. I don't think Draymond and KD's relationship, certainly leading up to that incident, I don't think Draymond and KD's relationship was so different than it was last year. I think we've seen them snipe at each other since the moment KD got here. That's kind of what the relationship has been. And every other time, the quick response from everybody has been, that's just brothers fighting, no big deal.
Right.
So this one, yes, it elevated, but I think that's...